For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read for your hearing verse number 2. Romans, the 12th chapter, second verse. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. These words are recorded. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Read for your hearing from Romans, the 12th chapter and the second verse. May the Lord continue to bless us through his word. From this verse of scripture, we would like to share with you, using for a subject, time for change. Time for change. Suppose you could change anything about yourself. Where would you start?
Well,
lots of us would start on the outside. Would you be skinnier?
Well,
taller or shorter? Maybe even better looking. Would you change your eyes, your hair, your teeth, your legs, or those bulges around the middle? If you could wave a magic wand and change your outward appearance, would it be a light touch-up or an extreme makeover?
Well.
Would we even recognize you? I think we all go through periods where we desperately want to change our outward appearance. Our young people live in a state of constant fear that they don't look good enough. So they tinker with this and they try that and experiment with this trend or that fashion, this t-shirt or that hat or whatever the latest rap artist happens to be wearing. But when we grow older, we get smarter. Or do we? We spend hours trying to find just the right dress or suit or the right shirt or the right pair of pants so that we fit in with whatever crowd we're trying to impress.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
We work out and diet zealously, which is good for our health, but can be a losing battle because after we lose that weight and finally start looking good, it tends to creep back upon us again. Finally, we reach the stage in life where it's easier to simply try to cover it up than to lose it. You see, people change slowly, if they change at all. But as hard as it seems to change on the outside, it seems infinitely harder to change on the inside.
Yes.
See, if there's anything we know about human nature, it is that we change slowly. If we change at all. Think about the struggles of our own lives. What would we change about ourselves on the inside if we could? Would it be an impatient spirit? Would it be a critical tongue? Would it be the envy of those around us? Would it be a spirit of discontentment or a lingering resentment? Maybe it's a lust that we can't conquer. Would it be guilt or a guilty conscience? Would it be a quick temper or a profound discouragement? Would it be a disorganized life or the inability to simply say no? What would we change about ourselves if we could? We all want to change something, but we don't know how to do it, and we don't know where to begin. We all dream of being something different and better than the person we are today. Now, advertisers know this. That's why our mailboxes and our email online inbox is crammed with ads promising that we can lose weight now, make money overnight, learn a new language in 50 seconds and become a better lover. You know, I even saw on TV the other day where the company named Solo Bello said, watch unwanted pounds just melt away. Who wouldn't like that? Sounds like fun. Somehow the microwaves or something goes on the inside and the little bubble balls just seem to go away. They tell you to take this pill or eat this supplement or drink this super duper energy drink and presto, the unwanted pounds just melt away. What could be easier? Unfortunately, change is hard. Go to any bookstore, and you'll see an entire wall of self-help books. You see, helping folks change is big business. But when we get up in the morning and look in the mirror, all we still see is the same old person looking back at us.
Well,
you see, that's why some of us move, change jobs, get a facelift, buy a new car, start a new career, find a new boyfriend or girlfriend, or go to a new church and start working out, buy a new outfit, and on it goes for change. You see, sometimes we need to make outward changes, but it's not the outward stuff that trips us up.
Well,
it's the stuff on the inside. That we can't seem to fix.
Yes.
You see, the words of our text are strong. Be not conformed to
this world,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Well,
you see, we have to understand now that when we get around and start talking about change, it's not merely enough to know Bible knowledge. Though that is certainly important, we should be about transformation.
Come on.
Most of us are all for Bible knowledge, but knowledge alone will not save us.
Well.
Knowledge alone will certainly not change us.
Well,
we've got to do something with the knowledge that we have.
Yes.
Otherwise, all we end up with is somewhat like a computer full of notes and outlines. You see, transformation is not easy, and it's not supposed to be easy. If it were easy, we would not need Christ. Most of us change slowly. Few of us make any lasting changes except under pressure or as a result of personal pain.
Well,
you see, there is no growth without struggle. Some of you remember the drill instructors down at Parris Island would tell the young recruits all the time that no pain,
no gain.
No gain. You see, long-held habits can be changed, but it won't happen overnight. Patterns of sin can be broken, but it'll take more than a quick prayer at the end of a worship service. You see, you can see significant growth in your spiritual life, but it won't come without a cost. You see, we might live together in close proximity over a period of months, and whatever is in our hearts will come out sooner or later.
Well,
you see, if you got a tendency to cut corners, your friends will spot it. If you finagle on the truth, if you're a chronic excuse maker, if you have a critical spirit, if you have a core of bitterness, or if you're just a difficult person to be around, all of it is bound to come out eventually.
Well,
but you see, the revealing of our weaknesses always involves personal pain. But the benefit comes from seeing the truth about yourself. You see, it's time for a change. Time to do something about it. And that something is what our text is talking about. It tells us that we can be transformed when our minds are renewed. Well, but preacher, how does that happen? You see, we must be transfigured on the inside. I notice now that the word transfigured, the Greek word for transformed, is related to the English word metamorphosis. Now, you might recall from grade school science class that metamorphosis is the process by which a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, or a tadpole becomes a frog. You see, it's a gradual change on the inside that produces a total transformation on the outside. You see, I use the word transfigure because this same Greek word is used for the transfiguration of Christ when the true glory of Jesus began to shine through his humanity and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. The word means to be changed or transformed from one thing to another. Think of it this way. When Jesus was transfigured, he did not cease to be Jesus. He was still who he had been moments before. But for a brief minute, a brief time, the curtain was pulled back. And James, Peter, and John saw as much of the true divinity of Christ as any man could see and still live. You see, in that moment, they saw the real Jesus. The true Son of God from heaven. He did not cease to be a man, but his true identity was revealed to them as true God of the true God. Consider what happens when a caterpillar enters the cocoon, only to emerge later as a butterfly. The caterpillar doesn't change its basic nature. Metamorphosis reveals what was always there in the genes of the caterpillar. They can't fly, but they were born to fly. How do you solve this mystery? Well, metamorphosis. When the caterpillar is changed into a butterfly, it becomes what God always intended it to be. I look at the caterpillar just for a moment longer. Better yet, take a dozen or half dozen and put them on a table and let them crawl around. Now, suppose you knew nothing about metamorphosis. If somebody said those crawly things going to turn into butterflies one day, you would think that was a joke. You can't tell by looking at a caterpillar that one day it will fly. It seems impossible. When the Apostle John said that now we are the children of God, and what we will be has yet been made known. You see, he was talking about our future when we are with the Lord in heaven. But it's also true in this life. God is in the transformation business, and you can't tell who will end up where or what plans God has for you and me tomorrow. See, God is determined that we will all be like Jesus in the end. Romans 8 and 29 says that we are predestined to be conformed to the images of his son. All of us are works in progress. We're not finished. We're not glorified. We're not perfected. We're not completed. We're all under construction. You see, if you ever visited a construction site, you know that around that is noisy, it's dusty, it looks messy. While the hammering and the sawing continue, it's hard to imagine what the final result will be. But God never stops working on us, because there's so much work that needs to be done. What make us think that God will ever finish the job? Well, in my finite mind, I picture God as a sculptor working on a big chunk of marble with my name on it. It's a hard job because this chunk is badly marred, misshapen, discolored, cracked in odd places. It's about the worst piece of marble a sculptor could ever find. Amen. But God is undeterred, and he works patiently at this job that stands in front of you, chipping away the bad parts, chiseling an image into this hard stone, stopping occasionally to polish here and there. And one day I believe that he finally finishes one section of this rock. But the next morning when he comes back to finish the work, he finds that section is messed up. See, it turns out that I'm the culprit. I'm my own worst enemy. What I thought would improve things has only messed them up. But God is faithful. He patiently picks up his chisel and goes back to work. He's chipping away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. You see, in my case, it's evident that he has a long way to go. But I'm encouraged by the certain knowledge that he won't quit halfway through a project. What God starts, he finishes. Sometimes I think we get mushy about the spiritual life. By that I mean we think in purely emotional terms. If only we can feel the presence of the Lord, then we know we are moving in the right direction. As important as feelings are, and they do matter, Paul puts the emphasis on the renewing of the mind. How do we get renewed? Paul speaks of it in our text. He says the answer is actually simply, though it is the work of a lifetime, desire must be combined with discipline. One philosopher, one theologian, Dr. Charles Ryrie, said that time plus habits of holiness equals spiritual growth.
Well,
in other words, the transformation of the mind takes time.
Yes.
And it takes a determination to develop those habits of holiness. We need to be around others who can encourage us to make wise choices on a daily basis. We must choose our friends wisely, because we will become like our friends and our friends will become like us. The right friends make it easier for us to grow in the Lord, and the wrong friends make it much harder.
Well,
our text teaches us about spiritual metamorphosis. God intends that we will slowly but surely be transformed into the image of Christ. It's not going to happen by accident. It won't happen overnight. It cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. It happens when we make a personal commitment with the godly encouragement of other disciples. It happens as we become what God will make us to be. It happens as we behold the glory of God's Son, Jesus the Christ. This is how the mind is renewed, by steadfastly gazing at the glories of Christ for what they really are. We must pursue the Lord so that we may know him better and better, not just on Sunday morning, but we must know him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Then and only then will you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are reminded that God shows up in the darkness and grants us a new glimpse of his glory, a new vision of his justice. We're allowed to see that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We're granted the insight, if we stay close to him, the vision to see that God rejuvenates us in our faith. And then the Holy Spirit will give us a Pentecostal dose of new energy as we need it, as we move on this journey to heaven. Energy to be faithful, energy to work with others in their pain, to work with others in their brokenness and their hopelessness. For even in our distresses, we are given the vision to see that God has not abandoned us and that we are not alone. For God sent us his Son to suffer and die on a cross on a hill called Calvary, where he said that it is finished. In other words, in his earthly construction, the metamorphosis of him down here on earth was over, from Bethlehem to the cross, again to the tomb, where he was placed in a borrowed one and raised early on that Sunday morning with all power in his hand. I like what the songwriter said when he said, I seen the lightning flashing and I heard the thunder roar. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. He said, I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me, still the fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. I thank God for never leaving us. Thank him that in your grace and mercy, no one is left behind. When God is finally finished with us, you will be with him in glory. Don't worry about the chiseling that goes on in your life. We all need molding until that day that our construction is completed. He reminds us through our text that every day is a time for change. Every hour, there's something on the inside that needs to come out. Every moment in our lives, we have to give God the glory for all that he has done is doing and will do in our lives as a result of his death, his resurrection, and his soon coming again for that church without spot and without wrinkle. The time for change is now.
Well,
may God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.